Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Colin Powell died.
Yeah, and depending on your political viewpoint, you have a specific... Usually people have a certain thing that they're expressing about this. People on the pro... vaccine, pro-mandate side of this are blaming the unvaccinated for Colin Powell's death.
Are they? I haven't seen that.
Well, because he was fully vaccinated.
Right.
Okay. By his own, you know, statements, or his, I think his family posted that information after he died. And there literally are people who are saying that it's the fault of the unvaccinated because they believe that vaccinated people can still get COVID, but only from the unvaccinated.
So, what they? Who told them that?
I don't know.
Because that's not correct at all.
They've been told that unvaccinated people are dangerous.
Right.
They've been told that unvaccinated people are the pandemic. Remember, it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated now. Joe Biden has said this. Other people in the media have trotted this particular line out. And so... it shouldn't be a surprise when people mindlessly repeat the things that they are hearing. Now, I just looked up Colin Powell, weapons of mass destruction. Now the media is trying to make him look like he cared after the fact. He regretted it, he said, later on, apparently.
Did he regret it because it was a bad idea from the beginning or because it didn't turn out the way that he
wanted it to? Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. So if you want to comment here on whatever's on your mind, mix and matching vaccines, Colin Powell, who again, fully vaccinated. Oh, yeah. He was 84 years old.
And battling cancer.
Yeah. Maybe that was a factor. I mean, could be. Could just be a factor in the... Well, wait a minute. Isn't the average age of death for an American male like 74 last time I checked, if I recall correctly?
It's at least below 84.
It's way below 84.
So, I mean, this was an 84-year-old guy. I mean, vaccinated or unvaccinated, from everything we've heard about COVID-19 from the very beginning, an 84-year-old cancer patient extremely likely to die from COVID-19 at the age of 84.
An 84-year-old man is extremely likely to die just any day, basically. And I'm actually surprised. Life expectancy apparently has gone up a little bit since the last time I saw the numbers. And it's like whenever politicians die... it's always all the good. Oh, they're so good. These people are so good. And oh, look at how he loved his family. And here's a photo with him and a dog. And
see, I don't see a lot of that because on the internet, a lot of my friends are libertarians and they're just like joyously celebrating and dancing on his grave. And I don't really agree with that viewpoint either because he was someone with a family that loved him and with grandkids and all of that. And I mean, and his family that... They feel...
well, we don't know if his grandkids loved him.
That's true.
Yeah.
But presumably someone did.
He might have been a total a-hole to his family. We really have no idea.
But presumably someone loved him. And
there's a good chance,
and there's some people out there who are legitimately sad about his death.
Yeah, like, you know, his mom might have loved him before he became a killer.
One would hope that, you know, people allowed morality to guide their empathy that way, but it doesn't seem like most people do. I mean, most people have a hard time recognizing him as a warmonger.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But he was.
Sure was. No, I agree with you. I don't like the idea of dancing on someone's grave, but I also believe in telling it like it is. Whenever one of these people dies, it's not like the world becomes a better place because there's always some other scumbag who's angling for that guy's job. So, I mean, I understand why some people like in the libertarian camp want to celebrate when somebody like this dies. And there's just no point. It's grave dancing, number one. It's kind of tasteless. Although I do enjoy the memes that, you know, that are coming out because that's a great way to make a quick point to somebody about how bad this person was. So I'm not saying, like, don't make fun. Like, there's nothing wrong with poking fun at politicians. They deserve it.
They deserve.
And the thing I'm saying, I guess the thing I'm saying here is they still deserve it after they're dead. Because some people say, oh, too soon. Oh, no. What about his family? Well, I'm sorry. If his family cared, they should have convinced him to stop being such a scumbag and quit his job and then apologize immediately after he told, you know, however many lies this guy told in his career. Because as a politician, You know, it's just constant stream of misinformation and lies coming out of their mouths. And he's no different than John McCain or any of these other dead politicians out there. But it doesn't make things any better because now there's just some young guy that's going to take that position and do the same crap and fly us into war again.
Clinton, you know, was also, I just read something on CNN, February 13th, 2003, before the invasion, Clinton was supporting also this idea that we don't know what's in Iraq because, you know, Hans Blix, the guy who from the UN, the inspectors, they were kicked out by Saddam. Very stupid move by Saddam, in my opinion. Mm. Also, failure of government.
I don't think it was a stupid move for him to say, hey, Iraq is a sovereign nation and you're no longer permitted to be here. So get out.
Well, the whole concept of sovereign nations is what libertarians are against, I think. And the idea that...
Yes, but I will take a smaller state over a bigger state any day of the week.
Okay, but there's still... What I'm saying is there's still large states, and Iraq definitely was an oppressive state to the Kurds, for example, and others. But I just want to say this, that it was a stupid move by Saddam because inspectors give us facts on the ground.
And allegedly, but I don't trust the UN inspectors any more than I trust the U.S. government or Saddam Hussein.
Well, fine, but it's better than nothing. And what we had in Iran recently was the Iran deal, which put a record number of inspectors and gave them the most access to the country. And remember, these inspectors are not warmongers. They're not people that have weapons.
So I've never been curious enough to look into it. What is the non-proliferation agreement or treaty?
I'm sure it's complex, but essentially the signatories to the treaty, all those countries, agree that they will not develop more nuclear weapons. I'm not an expert on exactly how or why, say, Iran was going to develop one or not develop one. I'm not entirely clear. But what I do
is the contention then that the United States hasn't created a new nuclear weapon in the last several decades?
Either that or that they will draw down the number of nukes over time. Honestly, I don't know about that particular non-proliferation treaty, but I do know that they have bilateral agreements with Russia to draw down nukes with the START treaty and all these other things, which I very much welcome, less weapons in the world. But unfortunately, the militaries of the world are developing drones and AI that will then seek and destroy without any humans. And they'll make a lot of more mistakes. Now the government
right.
machine.
So now you don't have to worry about a nuclear explosion. It's just going to be an assault by drones dropping less nuclear weapons, non-nuclear bombs upon you. So it's not like that there's any less destructive capability. But certainly I don't disagree with you that nuclear weapons should go away.
The next day is the worst part because you feel it at every stage as it goes through your body. And it's not 25 minutes of horrible pain at that point. It's like 6 to 7 hours of just constant burning sensation at some point through your body. It's not fun.
No,
I'm not looking forward to it.
I can only barely imagine this because, I mean, I like spicy foods. I like hot, but I'm not a fiend, okay? So I'm not interested in taking this challenge. I might have the habanero or something like that, but to go to ghost pepper and then reaper, that doesn't sound like fun because
it's not.
We've got a place here in Keene. It's a wonderful Jamaican restaurant called Yasso Jamaican. It's on Main Street in Keene. So if you're in Keene, New Hampshire, and you want to get some real Jamaican food, believe it or not, there's actual real Jamaican food here in New England in Keene. But she makes a sauce called murder sauce, and actually you requested this
yes.
at one point. This is not on the menu.
It's on the menu now.
Oh, is it really? Like they've actually got it on the actual.
Yeah, if you try to order on DoorDash or online or something, it actually has
option.
Murder sauce.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't at the time, and so she came up with this thing, which obviously she already had the recipe for this. This is like a Jamaican thing to have Scotch bonnet sauce. And didn't we find out that Scotch bonnets were about on the same level as a habanero? Basically?
I think so.
Inflation at the wholesale level, and again, they're talking about price inflation, because remember, inflation is an increase in the money supply. And that is, they've been doing that. They're not slowing that down, and that's why you're seeing prices going up.
It's also because supply is going down because of all of the shipping shortages.
That's true. That is definitely true, but I think the primary reason is the increased money supply. You know, more money chasing the same amount of goods, or in this case, a smaller amount of goods, is going to result in prices going up. And they're not going to come back down.
No.
Because they're going to keep printing more money. Anyway, it's the wholesale price, price inflation is up 8.6% in September compared to a year ago. So looking at a 12-month increase.
Now this means, what does this mean exactly? That people who make meals and stuff like that are having to pay 8% more in order to get
Roughly 9% more at the wholesale level. So to acquire the different products that they need to put together these, you know, the different parts to put together these products or whatever, it's all going up. And it's resulting in an increase at the wholesale level, which means they're going to have to mark the retail prices up as well. And it is the largest advance since the 12-month change was first calculated in 2010. There was a blog I found years ago that I really enjoy. I've just remembered it. I haven't been in probably a couple of years myself, but it's still out there. It's called mouseprint.org, and it's done by like some consumer group. Who is this? Consumer World. And I don't know exactly what they're, you know, if they have a political viewpoint. I'm not real sure about that. But they do a really good job of sort of assessing the market and looking at some shifty things that some market participants do. I mean, we know politicians are dishonest, but that doesn't mean, you know, just because libertarians believe in the market and that, you know, ultimately the market brings better value and better prices and better products through competition and all that, that doesn't mean that there aren't dishonest actors in the market too.
No, and if we had a free market, we might have some kind of way of doing something about those bad actors, but they're protected.
Is part of doing something is to out them and to say, look, look what this company, look what they're doing. So they show on this blog examples of downsizing or shrinkflation, but that's only one category that they have. They also look at like the fine print on certain products and, you know, ask, well, what does this mean? Call the company, ask them for ask for clarification.
New Hampshire is a great place for liberty activism. And I mean, you're absolutely right. There's strength in numbers. It's always sad to, when I look on the Free State Project page on Facebook, which is the only social media I'm currently allowed to use, and people are always like, hey, can we get a Free State Project going in Florida or Tennessee or whatever? It's like, hey, how about you just join the one that's already breaking ground here? Instead of trying to do libertarians are terrible at this. Hey, yeah. I have this idea. Ooh, I like your idea. I'm going to do the same thing, but over here by myself.
But except they're not. They're not going to do the same thing. They just want to post about the thing on the internet and say, how come people won't just move to where I am? Why doesn't everyone just come around me? And it's ridiculous.
And that's kind of what I felt as I was out talking to these people. You know, of course, some of the people that I met, like, they're truly in love with where they are. Mm-hmm. And they believe that they can 100% make change. And
it's delusional.
And it would right. But it would be like somebody sort of trying to convince me that I need to move from New Hampshire to Colorado to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I kind of understand the love and that they feel for something, but I don't know. Not a day goes by in the past 10 years of being there, mostly in the past 3 or 4 years, that I don't interact, work for, meet with just something, somebody that's like-minded, mostly like-minded.
I hate driving, and I generally just hate traveling because it's so unproductive, but the feeling of being back in New Hampshire and back home in Keene, it's indescribable. I mean, it feels like home.
Yeah, even though Keene is like a little tyranny as far as New Hampshire is concerned, it's still way more free here than pretty much everywhere else out there, or at least a lot of places in the United States. New Hampshire, of course, arguably is the freest of all the 50 states. There's some different studies that look at that information.
Well, it alternates between Florida and New Hampshire, depending on which set of data you're looking at.
Yeah, these days it does, and we're going to see what the next update is on the Freedom in the 50 States study. I think they're overdue for a release at some point. I think they're still going on like 2018 numbers. So hopefully
So pre-COVID numbers.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll see how that shakes out in the next couple of years. But having been living in Florida for 26 years of my life prior to moving here, I'm now in my 40s, but my first 26 years I lived in Florida. I can tell you, it's not freer in Florida. There's cops on almost every street corner where I'm from in Florida. I mean, it is like a real-life police state. in that state. Now, you know, it's not as bad as California. It's certainly not as bad as New York. There are a lot worse places you could be than Florida. But if you actually care about liberty and you want to see it increase in your lifetime, then the only sensible move you can make is to come to New Hampshire.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Bad Slave, you were just commenting that you are seeing, as we have been seeing, and we're just out in Keene, which is just a little town, you know, a small city. They call it a city, but it's really a large town. Out in the southwest corner of the state, we're seeing an unusually high number of visitors and people just showing up saying they just moved. And I imagine you're seeing more out in you're in the Manchester area, right?
Yes, you know, just south of there. Mm-hmm. And I consider where I live near the Merrimack River to be kind of the center of the demographic area of all of New Hampshire because of the concentration in the southern portion and the very middle with the Merrimack River being, you know, where even a higher concentration.
Yeah, it's a high population area. There are a lot of businesses. Obviously, there are a lot of opportunities for work and jobs and things like that. But what are you seeing? I mean, do you go to some of the meetups where people show up for the first time? Are you seeing a lot of new faces?
Well, yes.
The former angel sponsor of Free Talk Live from back in the 2007 days of Free Talk Live, so more than a decade ago, was SACL CAI. And that is a company owned by Jason Osborne. Who's Jason Osborne? He's a Free State Project mover who at one time was the organizer of the Porcupine Freedom Festival for the Free State Project, which is the summertime camping festival that they've had. He organized some of the rising popularity years. I think it was like 2010 or 2011, where it was getting really big. And it was a hell of a party under his tutelage. Dude loves to party. Great sure. guy. And he's now not the Speaker of the New Hampshire House, but he's the House Majority Leader for the Republican Party.
Yeah, that's an amazing success.
The guy who sponsored Free Talk Live, who is a, I would say, self-described, I don't know if he publicly says this very often, but he's a anarcho-capitalist. I mean, this guy is a principled, well-read, freedom-loving guy, and I don't think he would have seen it, like, when he first moved here. I don't think he had the intention of rising through the political ranks. I think he was fairly turned off by politics, but apparently he's good at playing the game because he's now the House Majority Leader. That means he's the number two guy in the state house. 8.6% is the rise in what is called the producer price index in the last 12 months, which led to a conversation about the cost of products on store shelves and why the consumer price index is only at like 5.something% in the last 12 months. And we were speculating that companies are going to try to, you know, eat the losses for a little while, at least until they feel they have to either raise their prices or engage in what is now being popularly described as shrinkflation, the downsizing of product in, you know, the size of the product itself, the amount of ounces in a physical product, or in the case of something like paper towels, for instance.
I'm just glad people are noticing it, you know, because it's such a...
It's been present for my whole life.
It's such an innocuous minor thing that if you're not actively, you know, paying attention to it, it very easily escapes people's notices.
Yeah. But it's getting to the point where it's so drastic, I think, now that they can't hide it as easily. It's one thing if you go from 64 ounces on a carton of orange juice to 63 ounces. That's going to be a tough one to notice in the packaging. But if you go down to 52 ounces, you might notice that the box isn't as thick as it used to be. You noticed recently when you were at a fast food joint in town here, they sell sandwiches, D'Angelo's. You noticed that it seemed like they've reduced their size of their turkey dinner that they have.
Yeah, it used to be significantly larger. Mm-hmm. It's not now. It maybe I couldn't speculate what the difference is, but
you could tell
it was a reduction.
Yeah. Now I don't have D'Angelo specifically, but somebody noticed the same thing happening at Walmart with their chicken Caesar salad, gone from 14.5 ounces to just over 12 ounces. So again, just getting smaller and smaller. Tostitos cutting an ounce out of their chips. Actually, one of them from two ounces out of their chips, 13 ounces to 11. Quaker instant oatmeal knocking out 2 packets of oatmeal from their box of oatmeal. So going from 10 1-ounce packages to just 8. And so it just keeps
That makes sense, because it was always stupid that they gave you 4 packages of peaches and cream and 2 of all of the others anyway.
Oh, you're talking about the variety packs.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
No, this is just showing strawberries and cream. Just,
okay.
They're just, now you can only get an 8-box instead of a 10-pack. And it just keeps going. Dial body wash, 21 ounces down to 16.
And people don't notice. People, not actively.
Right. Well, I mean, that's 25 cents down, or 25% down.
But did they do it all at once?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just gone. I remember seeing 11.2 ounces on beers at least a few years back.
See, I don't think I've ever seen one, but as we've been talking about this, I've been drinking these Citizen Ciders a lot lately, and they come 4 to a pack.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive a decade ago, it probably would have been a 6-pack for the same price.
Maybe, you know, if those even existed back then, I don't know. At least they're still 16 ounces, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, some products, they do stay steady because those manufacturers are willing to raise the price, but a lot of these companies... They know that lowering the amount of product and keeping the price the same is going to result in some savings at the factory, and they figure if it's just a few ounces, they'll be able to get away with it, and they, for the most part, probably do.
And they're going to make the same amount of money either way, because as we pointed out, you're going to have to buy more paper towels now because there's 10% less in the bundle.
Mm-hmm. Now, unless, of course, there's a competitor that actually keeps theirs... you know, on target, keeps the same amount. And
but they would have to raise prices.
Raises their price. Maybe they would.
Either way, you, the consumer, are spending the same amount of money.
Yeah,
or more money.
Another example here from Mouseprint, shop towels, like the car, you know, repair. They use those towels.
Yeah, those little blue ones?
Yeah. Brand is Scott. They cut back not on the number of towels, so there's still 55 towels in the roll, but they cut down on the area of each towel. So instead of being 11 inches by 10.4 inches, they're now 11 inches by 9.4. So shaving an entire inch off of the manufacturing process. Dash, for instance, did a lot of marketing down in South America. A lot of the Dash marketing budget was poured into Caracas in Venezuela. They were having like hotel conventions where they would just give away cryptocurrency. They give away Dash cryptocurrency to people. And to be fair, there are a large number of businesses in Venezuela that are willing to accept cryptocurrency. But it's not, you know, it hasn't been like some sort of tidal wave of adoption or anything like that. And in Venezuela, you've got prices going up every single day, and it is absolutely noticeable. The people of Venezuela know they're getting screwed, and I'm sure some of them are doing what they can about it, but there's just not enough information. The average person doesn't have enough information. So even if they have the information that they're getting screwed, they may not have the information about what to do about it. So there's a whole lot of lack of solutions that that people have. And of course, they're also busy. You know, as the economy gets more and more difficult to handle, you still have to feed your family if you have one. Like you and I, we're single. Well, I mean, I've got a girlfriend, but, you know, we don't have kids. We don't have to worry about those things. A lot of people do. And so they're worrying where they're going to get their next meal to be put on the table. They don't really have time to go run around the city looking for, you know, goldbacks or... you know, some other sort of form of alternative currency. It literally has to be in their face. I think that whole idea of observing your thoughts, and I like what you said there, that we're not our thoughts. And
we can't be, because we don't... like Nietzsche said, a thought comes when it wants, not when we want it.
That's
We can reject that thought and we can, you know, kick it out of our brains, but we can't stop it from coming.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's hard to say where they come from exactly, but a lot of them are, you know, things that I know are not me, you know, that I would not want to make part of me. And but I don't think very many people are aware of this process, that you can be sort of the observer of your thoughts and you can choose the ones that best fit who you are. I think a lot of people don't, you know, they don't know anything about meditation. They don't know anything about mindfulness. They're just sort of
reacting.
Well,
they don't know anything about discipline. That's exactly it.
This is a mental discipline, yeah.
They're just animals who react to the things around them instead of taking the time to rationalize and calmly choose how they want to react.
Which may explain a lot about what, you know, situation we're in today with people reacting to a quote-unquote, you know, authorities telling them to be scared about this, oh, there's this dangerous pandemic and you got to be afraid. And, you know, they just react rather than think and meditate.
Some free staters have gotten together and formed what they call the Free State Food Network, freestatefood.net is their URL. And their looks like their main objective, or the one that stood out to me the most, was, quote, to advocate against government involvement in the New Hampshire food system, unquote. So it looks like they'll be doing some lobbying, among other things.
What kind do you happen to know? I mean, obviously you're not a founder of this Free State Food Network, but do you happen to know what level of government involvement there is in the food industry in New Hampshire? Because from what I understand, New Hampshire, I believe, got some sort of recognition, you know, one of those charts of what is the most affordable state in which to go to the grocery store. And I think New Hampshire won that in 2020 or something like that.
That's good. They said this in a news release, quote, your average citizen probably doesn't realize just how much micromanaging the state and local governments perform against us in our food businesses. But I'm certain you'll agree that their meddling is weight preventing us from thriving, unquote.
Well, that's certainly true. But New Hampshire also does have a large number of like farmers markets and stuff like that.
They
compared
do.
To other places, especially in New England. I mean, farmers markets were fairly common in Mississippi, but not so much here in New England.
Well, I don't know if that's true, Aria, because I believe the top three states for what they call locavore, which is people who are into eating locally produced things like from farmers and such.
I prefer that.
Is New Hampshire, Vermont, and Maine.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.